What is more beautiful than seeing a swan gliding across water?
Joyful viewers, welcome to the conclusion of our two-part programme on the Swan Sanctuary in Shepperton, Surrey, UK, founded by Miss Dorothy Beeson, a vegetarian. Beginning her mission in the early 1980s, Miss Beeson has been caring for swans for over three decades. In recognition of Dorothy Beeson's steadfast work in rescuing and treating the country's beloved swans on the River Thames in 1990, she was awarded the Medal of the Order of the British Empire for Meritorious Service, also known as the British Empire Medal. In 2000, for her contributions to the betterment of animal welfare, she received the Lord Erskine Award, one of the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals' highest honours, and in 2001, she was recognised with the Pride of Britain Award.
They are regal and always dignified, always dignified. I mean it. With even the most atrocious injuries, they retain their dignity. They become the most marvellous of patients. They soon know to trust you. They soon know that, you know, you're there to help. I find them very spiritual. I really feel that I have a link from my soul to theirs. And quite honestly, once I started dealing with swans, I knew what I'd been put on the earth for.
Run by Miss Beeson and her partner Stephen Knight, the Swan Sanctuary is not only the largest, but the only complete self-contained swan hospital in the UK. Approximately a third of the 6-hectare site is covered by a major lake that connects to the famed River Thames. The sanctuary also includes a meadow, a hospital, rehabilitation ponds, as well as nurseries for baby swans, which are called cygnets. An adult male, called a cob, is generally bigger and heavier than the adult female, often referred to as a pen. The flock of happy residents is cared for by a team of dedicated staff.
I have three men and one young lady that does part-time. And myself, and normally there's my daughter, there's Stephen. So it's probably about 9, 10. And then we get some volunteers on top of that. But there is an enormous amount of work that has to be done to keep the hospital in really tip-top, clean conditions. It's just never-ending, really.
We asked Miss Beeson to describe a typical day's routine at the Swan Sanctuary.
I would generally start at 6, though very often we've had a call before then. So, you know, that changes things. But I start at 6 preparing various feed dishes and sorting out the produce that's come in from the night before, etc., etc., checking everybody's okay, topping up the various water dishes because they've drunk everything overnight. Just generally keeping myself busy till the staff get here about 7:30, 7:15, 8:15. And then I oversee the straw all being cleaned out of the pens, the dishes all taken away and washed, and new food bowls being brought in. Then we do the treatment rounds, which is anybody that's on injections, we need to get them done. Anybody that needs a dressing taken off, we need to do that. Need to put new dressings on. Need to sort out anybody that's in any discomfort or whatever.
Perhaps the most scenic part of the sanctuary is the large lake, where many of the sanctuary's permanent and temporary residents, as well as many spontaneous visitors, stay.
This is the entrance to the main lake. and it was an old gravel workings, and it's joined to the Thames from that area over there where the pontoons are. There's a real good variety of birds here, not just swans and geese and ducks. We put swans here who can't go back to the wild, and as you can see, quite a few of them have only got one wing. We've got hoopers, we've got black swans, we've got all types of geese, we've got coots, moorhens, mallards, grebes, a lovely variety, really lovely variety. They know they're going to get fed. There's areas of the lake that have got actually natural weed growth. So they come across some things themselves.
In the wild, swans can live up to 20 to 30 years of age. These placid beings generally pair up for life and remain together throughout the year.
And sometimes people say, oh, you know, this, you should find this one a mate because it hasn't got one. But it doesn't work like that. They have to choose themselves. When swans reach the age of four and they're looking for a mate, when they've actually found what we presume would be the true mate, they stick together, they communicate between each other, their language is softened, and it is quite lovely. But you see an even deeper sense of being committed to each other once they've produced their first offspring. And I mean, with this particular first cob that I ever treated or was ever involved with, I mean, he actually brought his youngsters to see me. So I used to go to this lake every day. And there he came with this little group of five little tiny babies, as if to say, look, look what I've got. And just absolutely, you could tell that it was just, he was just so proud. You would need to study the behaviour of a true pair to actually see how committed and devoted they are. Yeah, they really are. It's quite wonderful.
Dorothy Beeson now shares with us a touching story about the reunion of a swan couple following one successful rescue.
It's one of the most amazing happenings when you put one of a pair back. Like yesterday, the swan that went back to Wales, the cob who had a fishing tackle injury, but he went back to Wales and his mate and his babies were there. And it was just absolutely delightful. It never ceases to make my heart, you know, sing, because it's just so lovely. They make the heart shape. They carry on doing that. And the babies are all standing around watching or sitting around watching. It's just lovely. There's no mistaking that they are a bonded pair with a deep devotion to each other. It's quite lovely.
It is perhaps no surprise to learn that the graceful and noble swans care for their beloved companions just like human beings do.
I can also remember bringing in a male whose female was already here, really, really ill, me thinking that the male would encourage her to get better. And it wasn't to be, but she was awake long enough to communicate with him, and you know, he knew, and we left them for a while after she died, and you know, once he'd made up his mind that that was it, and he'd sat with her long enough, then he was ready to go home.
How do swans communicate? Sounds are just one of the ways the birds interact with each other.
It's very often by bringing a mate into a sick bird. It does lift their spirits and aid recovery. They communicate, and once they're communicating, you know that hopefully the sick one will recover, or the injured one. But they actually talk.
Like?
Sounds. There's various noises that they make. And I know that it's them saying that that's okay, you know, or everything is all right. And that we had nods and, you know, yeah, it's quite lovely.
Swans are thought of as among the most devoted parents in the animal world. Male swans help with nest construction, and once the eggs are laid, the females tend to the nest, keeping the eggs safe and warm until the young ones are ready to hatch.
When a pair of swans decide to mate and produce offspring, they've already gone off and found their own area that the cob will chase off anything. And he's protecting that area, the food source for his offspring.
They're very strong on family. They certainly will lay their life down for their offspring. They show a lot of passion and a lot of love. And they're also very beautiful and very graceful. They certainly have a serenity about them.
There's a very strong bond when they're a couple that have bred for a few years, and then they've then got their babies again for the next year. And you can just tell they're experienced, they're comfortable with each other. They have both got the same sense of caring towards their babies.
In closing, Dorothy Beeson shares some of the touching moments that have kept her going all these years.
In the treatment room, when we brought a swan in and it's got some horrible injury and it puts its head over your shoulder, and you know, you think, okay, you know. I think their communication is like something as sensitive as putting their head on your shoulder, or just generally sitting there and taking the treatment that you're giving them. You're putting an injection in them and they don't move, they don't, absolutely don't batter a blink. I think they do. I mean, what they give back to me is recovery, is they recover and they can resume their lives. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. But for those that don't do that, that are only 90% of what they were, you know, I still feel that we can offer them a life that is good for them.
Once again, our appreciation, Dorothy Beeson, for giving us a first-hand look at the Swan Sanctuary. Indeed, the birds that come here for healing are truly blessed to be under your care. With love and gratitude, Supreme Master Qinghai is honouring the Swan Sanctuary with the Shining World Compassion Award and £10,000. For more information on the Swan Sanctuary, please visit www.theswansanctuary.org.uk. Serene viewers, we appreciate your tranquil presence today on Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Coming up next is Between Master and Disciples. May our lives always be filled with the sweetness of true heavenly love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG